Good to be with you. Good to be back together again. It's still the Lord's Day. This is the first day of the week. We're going to have a lesson tonight. What is a godly mother? That is not... There it is. All right. What is a godly mother? You may be thinking, why is this 47-year-old balding guy talking about being a mother? I know nothing about being a mother other than I had a mother. And I married a woman who eventually became a mother. But one thing I've learned being a member of a church over the years is that at the end of life, what's the most important thing? The most important thing is your family, the people that you have. Obviously, it goes without saying, is a relationship with God. But apart from your relationship with God, having family is critical at the end of life. In your last years, children become more and more meaningful, and they always really have been critically meaningful. And if you think about, you know, when you were younger and how... How sometimes I think we focus on life, on acquiring things, or we focus on whatever, our careers, and we don't think about how important children are, but in reality, they are the very most important thing. So I want to talk about a godly mother, not just a mother, but a godly mother. And I also recognize that not everyone in here is in the fray, right? There's only probably a handful of ladies in here who have children at home right now. This lesson isn't necessarily for them. It's really for all of us in recognition of what a godly mother is and how critically important they are to our church and our society. I want to begin with a quick story. I asked my daughter if it was okay to tell this, and she said it was. I don't know if you know this, but my daughter is adopted. Michaela is. We had to hire an attorney to be able to have the right to adopt her. We had never seen her. We never met her. We didn't even see a picture. We didn't know what she looked like. We just knew it was Claire's sister. So we hired an attorney. We went to court, and we won. And in Texas, it's called Child Protective Services. And we actually won our case with CPS. So the judge ordered the foster family that had her to bring her to this government building. Alicia, you probably know what I'm talking about. Just this square brick building with very few windows, and the very few windows they had were small. So they said, go to that building at 2 p.m. and Michaela will be there. So we went, had lunch, and around 1:30 we got there. We were really anxious, couldn't wait to meet her. And finally at 2 o'clock we go in and we open the door. Our attorney's there with us. And I can hear this little screaming. I mean, screaming. I don't want to mimic it, but just trust me, it was loud. The loudest scream you can imagine. I could hear it, you know, in these concrete walls. So we rushed, and I was the first one. I opened the door, and there's this man. He's holding Michaela. She's 15 months old at the time. And she's doing this. Ah! You know, as loud as she can. So I go grab her, and it doesn't change. She's doing this, right? You've seen the little kids do this. I'm not the one she wants. So Carol just kind of steps over, and Michaela just wraps her arm around her. And I remember thinking, what is that? What about me? I'm not a bad guy. There was some connection, right? A mother and a child. One more example, real quick. We still do foster care. When we were living on Sycamore in Rolla, we got a phone call, and they said, hey, we need someone just to keep a kid for a night. We said, okay, we'll do that. So we got back home, and I want to say we got home at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And they were supposed to be there at 3. Well, they weren't there. We were all sweaty. You know, we go to our land. We're working. There's ticks on us and red bugs and all kinds of nasties. And Carol said, I got to go shower. I need to get clean. And I said, well, they're going to show up. And then it's going to be me. And she goes, well, you're just going to have to deal with it. I need to go shower. So she goes and shower. As soon as she gets in the shower, guess what? Knocks on the door. Here comes the social worker and this little girl. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And She stands behind that social worker, and she's not, this little child is not leaving the backside of that woman. So I invite him in the house. I'm like, I'm sorry, my wife is showering. She'll be out momentarily. I guess this woman, this lady's thinking some creeper guy is there. And I tried to be as friendly as I can. And finally, Carol gets out of the shower. She gets dressed. She comes in, and then the little girl opens up. So I say all that to say there is something. I don't think I'm all that frightening of a person. There is some connection that mothers have with children that men typically don't have. Not all cases, but typically they don't have it. Our society is diminishing the role of mothers. Mothers are not held in the high regard that they are due. And that is one reason I wanted to talk about being a mother. So Psalm 139, 13 through 14, one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Bible. David says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." God created woman to be able to create life. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful process for that to happen. I remember when my wife was pregnant, and I remember just feeling that little baby in there kicking and just thinking, what a miracle that was. And, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you get to adopt and you don't go through that process. But God created women to be mothers, and it's such a beautiful thing. There's a poem, I'm sure you've heard it. Maybe you've heard the name of it, but you maybe not have read the poem. It's called "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World." It's got some language in there that it's hard to understand. I don't know the terminology here, but it was written in 1865. It goes, "Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel. Oh, no matter where the place. Would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curl, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls unresting grow, grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." "Woman, how divine your mission, here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep, your young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from the mother, love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." A beautiful poem just acknowledging and praising the role that women have when they become mothers. Godly mothers have great influence. They have tremendous influence on society and their families, not because of what we are told by the media. There was a news article, I saw it just the other day, it was New York Times. It said, "Single childless women have more wealth." In other words, that's a good thing. You can accumulate more wealth if you remain single and don't have children. Godly mothers have great influence, not because of what is shown online. I think we're all aware of the filth that is available easily online. Godly mothers have great influence, not because of a successful career. I've been to a lot of funerals, and rarely do they talk about a great career. Usually we're talking about family, what that person was like. Godly mothers that focus, women or men in general, that focus on careers are going to find themselves less fulfilled. Not because of a political statement. You remember when Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. I don't know about you, but I prefer to keep the village away from my child and lean on my family and my church. But godly mothers have great influence because God created them to create life, because they impact generations. Think about the grandparents in here and the parents in here that you have trained your children, and they are out. They are across the country and they're worshiping faithfully. Think about the generations. They will never forget what you taught them. Because they make, godly mothers have great influence because they make a house a home. In a moment, I'll talk about the Jamestown settlement. It required women. It was ongoing for about 10 to 12 years, and it was flailing. It was floundering until they sent women over. Women, and in the words of this man, it said they provide stability and respect. Godly mothers have great influence because they are comforters. My kids never once got hurt and said, "Where's Dad?" If they come upon me, they would always go, "Dad, where's Mom?" They needed a comforter. And in general, godly mothers are very comforting. Godly mothers have great influence because they are servants. You remember a long time ago, maybe most of us are older in here, you remember that old U.S. Army slogan? It said, "We do more before 9 a.m. before most people do in their whole day." That's what a godly mother does. Think about all the things a mother does to make her household run. She'll do more in just a few hours than most people can accomplish in a day. So, again, if you're not a mother, or you're, this lesson, what I want you to think about maybe is your mother. Think about what she did. A godly mother trusts in God. Psalm 9:10, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." A godly mother, her trust is in God. It's most evident during the most trying and repleting seasons of her life. Raising children is incredibly time-consuming and difficult. Sometimes the kids don't turn out the way that we raise them. Another saying that I read, and I think it's really well written, it says, "We mothers must take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. We are to love, affirm, encourage, teach, listen, and care for the physical needs of the family. We cannot create a thirst for God." Remember Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go when he is old. He will not depart from it." I promise you, every man and woman in here, you can remember your mother training you and teaching you something. They will never forget. And sometimes they leave and they depart. And they depart in a manner that you don't want them to. But they will never forget the way their mother trained and taught them. A godly mother is a disciple maker. Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Just like Hannah, who raised Samuel to live a life of service to God, a Christian mother trains her children in the way they should go. You know the story of Hannah? She desperately wanted to be a mother. She was a good wife. She was a servant of God, and she went to the temple and she prayed, she cried, she pleaded with God, "Please, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you." And Eli, the priest, heard her, and he said, "Go your way." And months later, she was blessed with a son. Her son was Samuel, and she did. She turned him over to God to live with the priests. And eventually became a prophet. A godly mother is a disciple maker. You have the ability. You've got 18 years to influence these little people, and hopefully that they will follow the path of God. You have that opportunity, and it starts with a godly mother. A godly mother manages her home. Proverbs 31:27. "She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." She takes responsibility for her resources and has a plan for the proper management of her home and time. Just like Rusty preached this morning about the parable of the talents and the need to make most of the talents that God has given us, mothers make the most of the resources that she has. I don't know how women do all the things that they do. Planning for food, sports, school, work, husband, home. They're pulled in so many different directions. But a godly mother manages them and never forgets about God. Godly mother has a finite amount of money. There's only so much, and usually there's never enough, and she has to find a way to make what she has work. A godly mother has to take advantage of her knowledge. She has to take charge of her family's health. She teaches her children. She advises her husband. I saw a survey or a study one time, and it said if you took the amount of if you paid a woman the amount of money for all of the things that she does, it would be almost $100,000 a year in the medical advice and the education and the meal preparation and then working out some work outside the home and the difficulty of balancing all of that. But a godly mother manages all the things that she has to do. A godly mother keeps a pure heart. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example to the believers in the word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. To keep a pure heart, a God-fearing mother is mindful of everything that influences her thoughts, actions, and emotions. My mother smoked before I was born, and she drank alcohol. And I remember her telling me it was so easy because I knew it was harmful to you as a baby, so I did not drink. She quit immediately. And people will tell you that's a very difficult thing to do. But a godly mother knows what's going to influence her family, and she makes changes. And they should be recognized for that. A modern godly mother, what kind of things can get in the way? The internet. We look at our phones so much, and a godly mother will look at that and say, I'm putting this down, and I'm going to focus on my family. And what a blessing when you have a godly mother like that. A godly mother does what's necessary. Proverbs 31:13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She doesn't wait for motivation in order to get things done. She recognizes that everything she does is a gift and a blessing. My mom knew that I needed to read as a kid. I'll never forget this. Even before kindergarten, I knew the alphabet. I knew how to write my name. And throughout my entire life, believe it or not, reading was a struggle for me. I was far behind. My sister was advanced. My brother was advanced. And somehow I was behind. But my mother sat and read to me and read to me and read to me. It just didn't stop. My mom did what was necessary to make sure that I could read, and I eventually caught up and eventually fostered a love for for reading. A godly mother builds up her house. This is what I was alluding to earlier. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Drawing wisdom and guidance from the Bible, a Christian mother will partner with God and her husband to build a solid foundation for their home. The first settlement, or an early settlement in North America, the Jamestown settlement in 1607, began to flounder. The first 12 years, it was just men. It was just men. And they realized that they needed women over there. Right, men would come over and they would fight, they would argue, they'd kill one another, they would fight with the natives. Sometimes they would grow things and send it back, but they wouldn't stay. The settlement was in danger. So the treasurer of the Virginia Company of London came up with the idea of having women to send over. They were called tobacco brides. He said, the plantation can never flourish till families be planted and the respect of wives fix the people on the soil. The respect of wives. That's what needed to happen for that settlement to grow and thrive. And a godly mother builds up her house. There's a saying, a man can make a house, but a woman makes it home. And I believe that. A godly mother serves her family. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. A godly mom recognizes she has been appointed by Christ to serve him as a teacher in her own home. She realizes learning opportunities happen daily in the seemingly mundane and ordinary moments that unfold within her home. Serving isn't always doing, Moms teach children how to do things so they can become independent and do them on their own. They do their best, even if it isn't as good as what others do. But by teaching, she's creating independent learners. Moms focus on each child. Some of them don't have the problems that others have, so they have to spend more time and adapt what they do and what they train. A godly mother sees that and works and focuses on serving her family. A godly mother prays for her children. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. A praying mother prays with and for her children daily. Her prayers protect her children from being deceived by the lies of the world. Who in here can remember their mom praying with them? Who can remember that? A godly mother will bow her head and pray with her children. My wife prays with our children each night at bedtime. She's created a habit of prayer within the lives of our children to this day. And I think anyone who had a godly mother, you can remember your mother's prayers. You will never forget them. A godly mother trains her children. Proverbs 22:6. We read this already. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Through her example, she teaches her children how to pray, live, work, serve, and worship. She teaches them to love others as defined in the Bible. She encourages her children to develop a lifelong love of the Bible. You can look around and see mothers that live this faith. On Wednesday night, we have some younger mothers, and I can see them paying attention and taking notes and turning to the scriptures. They're showing their children, this is important. What I'm doing here is meaningful. This is critical. And their children see it. And they don't have to tell them, this is important. Their children see it because their mothers are paying attention. They are there. And I love to see that. They have Bible studies with their children. They talk about scripture. They correct their children with scripture. And they make it real. I remember asking Jane one time about, hey, tell me, what do you think? How were you successful raising your children? I was curious. I like to find out from other women. What made you successful? And that was the word she said. She said, it was real. My faith was real. Kids are the ultimate detectives. They sniff out when it's not real, and they're really good at it. But I see on Wednesday nights, These, and here as well, but some of these younger mothers, I see them doing it. I see them looking up and paying attention. And, you know, the kids are scrambling and squirming, and they make it real. It's very important, and their children see it. A godly mother is patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. She shows empathy and understanding for her children. Her goal is to reflect the character of Christ in her words and actions. Every child is different. I remember people telling me that. We had three children. And I remember arrogantly thinking, I've got this. I don't need your advice when I was younger. We can adapt and we can learn. But every child genuinely is different. Some are destined to be valedictorians while others struggle academically. A godly mother works to get her children to love God first and then helps them achieve their potential. I mentioned already, I was behind, and my brother and sister, both of them were well advanced. My sister was valedictorian. My brother was salutatorian of his class. I was number 22, and it was a small class. I'm not going to tell you how many. It wasn't very many, though. But I was behind. I had to struggle to learn to read. And my mom was very patient. I remember grammar was important to her. And keep in mind, you don't know this, but my mom didn't even graduate high school. She quit in junior high. But she learned, and she never stopped growing. And when I spoke improperly, she'd smack me. And I needed it. And I, to this day, I'm try to be particular with the way I speak because my mom taught me to be that way. And a godly mother figures out what her child needs and works diligently and does everything that she can to serve them and make sure that they can be the best they can be. A godly mother, we're nearing the end here, seeks godly counsel. Proverbs 19:20-21 says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." A godly mother seeks guidance from God-fearing mentors who encourage her and keep her accountable. I was thinking about in Proverbs 31, King Lemuel writes this, that these were words that his mother taught him. This man of God never forgot his mother's counsel. She warned him about wine and women. And I say this as women need to know their wisdom is carried on through generations of younger women and younger men. And please be ready to provide counsel. Seek counsel when necessary, but also be ready to provide it. And that concludes my lesson. A godly mother will leave a legacy. She is the children's first window into life and the character of Christ. When that little baby is laying down in the crib, looking up, that's his world. Everything is that woman, his or her mother. God will be made real with a godly mother. A godly mother has such a powerful and strong influence. The world will be changed. Just think about your grandchildren and your children, and they've spread out throughout the state, throughout the country, and the influence that they're having. And it all started when that little baby looked up, and there was Mom, a legacy of a godly mother. Well, thank you so much for your time and attention. I know this was maybe an unorthodox lesson from what we're accustomed to, but I wanted to accentuate and highlight the value that should be placed on a godly mother, a woman that seeks after God's heart and tries to influence children. I haven't talked about the plan of salvation, but we do extend that opportunity tonight. Or if there is a brother or sister who'd like to come forward and confess sin, we make that opportunity available while we sing the song of invitation.